It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. Undefeated here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and our very good friend, Professor Corbett. Yeah, I'm going to start doing that. You know, it's Professor Corbett. This is a thing. You know, that's what he's doing. And this is one thing that's going away. The idea that people got titles and doctor, you know, crap. And it's freaking worthless. What happens? I know it'd be, you know, doctor, that, but definitely professor. So we can just go Professor Corbett, boom, find me a teacher better than that. Then you get to be professor with stripes or something. But James Corbett, Professor Corbett. So that's going to be a thing. So you good with that, James?
I am. I'm very much on board with that, Ernie. I will allow you to address me that way.
Cool. Because, like, you know, you could stop it. So then we so the thing that I wanted to talk about today, there's a lot of stories and so on. You were interested in this one. Here, take a look at this real quick. The IRS doesn't fire its tax delinquent employees as the law requires. See, it's a through on requirement in only 7% of cases. How many was it? It was gazillions of dollars. It was Vivek put this out. And at more than 300 employees and 17 identified as delinquent, it's like billions of dollars that IRS employees are not paying taxes, or they don't file, or they've, you know, typical, you know, what else is new? So I'm not, that doesn't make me want to pay taxes. I don't care. I mean, you don't have to pay taxes, good on you. And they'll go, well, illegal immigrants don't have to pay taxes. And then I go, can I be an illegal immigrant? I can do that.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
So the one thing that is going to be, I want to get your comment on, is when we have the abandonment of the idea of government, the idea that you owe allegiance, the idea that you comply with all the 15 gazillion everything. And I was done complying a long time ago before they dumped on another pile, you know, but so they're talking about doing away with agencies and bureaucracies and whatever. And I remember in the 90s, a lot of activists, libertarians, would be filing lawsuits on taxes. And they're always doing, and I'm going, yeah, you know, you're not going to win. Or whatever. And they go, the time they spend on me is a bunch of other people they're not doing. And I got, you know, a light penalty, or I don't care, or it doesn't matter, or I don't have anything. So it was an activist thing. It's like you would never do online taxes. You'd always staple it, not in the top left corner, in the top right corner. You do it on paper. You send it in with a thing. You're 2 cents short on postage. I mean, it was all kinds of stuff.
Right, just with sloppy handwriting. Sure.
Right. You can't read it. You know, don't sign it. I mean, something, right? So that was kind of, and I don't do electronic. Now we'll do the, you know, a tax thing, TurboTax or whatever, and we do it all, print out paper, do it by hand, and send it in. I ain't helping them. You know, that sucks. So, well, you'll get it later. You'll get faster if you don't care. You know, whatever. This is the one thing I wanted to talk about. To abandon the idea of compliance, that somehow I owe compliance, somehow I owe them money, somehow they can just print it, well, then just print it and do it and tax me with inflation, not both, you buttheads. So this is what will do it. Mushroom clouds. I get, I don't care how small, big, you know, little hyper kind of neutron did kind of whatever. You have, you escalate this war into a mushroom cloud. You could suck it. You're done. I don't care. I'm not playing anymore. I'm out here doing whatever. And I want to get your opinion on the West Coast of Japan, Canadian, you know,
so
I don't, I'm sure you have some opinion. So help me out.
Yeah, no. This is a very, very, this might be the most important idea that could possibly be seeded into the public consciousness, because that's what this is about. Because you and me and the people listening to us right now, probably a lot of them are on board already. Yeah, comply. Yeah, we'd pay taxes for what? There's a lot of people with that sentiment. But, of course, they just need the majority of the population to believe in the idea of government, right? Just the idea. Okay, these clowns aren't the, you know, they're doing it stupid and whatever, but the idea is right, and we should all participate in the system. Because why? Because go back to the founding fathers. Go back to the founding fathers. What did they write? Why did Thomas Jefferson say we need government?
To protect individual rights.
And security, right? Rights and security. And if it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish, right? And so most people will go along with that deal. That's the social contract that, of course, no one signs on the dotted line, but most people kind of go along with it. And so really, I mean, we can talk till we're blue in the face about all the bajillion things that the tiny, hoofy, horned people, or whatever you call them, are doing, and all of the bad things, and the reason why government shouldn't, you know, Larkin can write about the most dangerous superstition and all that. Most people aren't going to listen, aren't going to go along with it. But you're exactly right. The time, the one moment of opportunity that we would have to truly affect a mass revolution in consciousness is to pre-plant the idea. I think it has to be out there beforehand, but we have to pre-plant the idea that, yeah, you're right. A mushroom cloud goes off somewhere. That is the end of that social contract. Gone. We do not abide by it anymore. You do not provide us security. You do not ensure our rights. It's done. Right. And if that idea was there...
What do you say you do here?
If that idea was in people's minds before that happens, then when and if that line is ever crossed, they will know, okay, now it's total Mad Max, and they're going to have to round up, you know, person by person and go guns blazing into every city. So... I think that's truly, truly, truly the most revolutionary idea that could be put out there, which is why even just talking about it gets your name to the top of the list, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we did in 1994, we filed an initiative in Arizona that was Arizona's Declaration of Independence. And it was exactly the same verbiage. Instead of saying, you know, the king and these colonies, it was the federal government and this state kind of thing.
Yep.
And you didn't change anything, and everything applied.
Yep.
So there's no big giant philosophical leap you got to have, which is why they need to diminish the importance of the founding documents, of what was going on back then, of the expansion of rights protection as a goal of government, you know, that kind of thing. This is what sticks in their craw, man. They can't stand it. They need to have, well, we control because we control, and the elite should control, and you'll own nothing. Here's your happy shot. So I think that might be something that I would feel more passionate about promoting.
But you know, exactly. I hope you understand what I'm saying here is that, of course, the people that we're talking to on a regular basis know all about that and are probably mostly on board with what we're saying most of the way. But to get that mindset widely understood and widely propounded, it is going to take some sort of amazing transformative event, some huge, spectacular false flag, 9/11 times 100,000, whatever it is. That is the moment where it truly could change overnight. And that's why I think it has to be implanted beforehand. And in a way, that's the ultimatum that people should be using to make their government afraid of them rather than people afraid of the government, is that, no, you guys don't get it. Your control only lasts insofar as that doesn't happen. And if that happens, You're done. You're gone. We do not listen to you. And that can be our ultimatum against them, because the political calculus right now, it could go either way. At the very least, if some big spectacular mushroom cloud happens somewhere, they would go 100% balls to the wall, complete crackdown on everyone and everything, total takeover, right? We know they would use that as their, this is it, this is our grand opportunity. So why wouldn't they use it? The only way that we can make that political calculus much harder is to say in advance, if that happens, it's done. You have to fight every single one of us to the last tooth and nail. And if we plant that idea ahead of time, well, at the very least, maybe it changes that political calculus. So it's not so enticing to do some spectacular false flag.
This is, I've seen, how much time do you spend on the internet? I mean, you know, searching, doing research, kind of getting a feel for, you know, the posts and people and comments and that. Yeah. Donna's a big comment person. She doesn't even read articles. She just goes to comments, you know? Yeah. And so what are you getting, you know, this mood about the war and their mindset? What do you think?
It's a very good question. Yeah, in terms of getting the sense of the people, well, I have eliminated and avoided a lot of commentary to the extent possible. So right. I try to get news from sources rather than listening to the commentariat. And there's a number of reasons for that. One of them, I don't want to pollute my mind with other people's opinions. But secondarily, actually, I don't think it's people. I think 99% of it is bots at this point. I mean, there's so right. much bot stuff out there that I don't think you get a sense of the people. Because look, I remember
Twitter used to be
in the selection cycle. Well, look, the whole selection cycle is total 100% fairy tale nonsense that they invent out of thin air. But anyway, whatever way you read it, I was looking at the commentariat on like X and whatever, those kinds of places, and on Reddit and places like that, where of course it's 100% the other way. And every single thing that happened is like, oh my God, this is the stupidest thing that Harris has ever said. This was a total disaster. Meanwhile, you go over to Reddit and it's like, this was brilliant. And she just totally evaporated and incinerated and torched Trump and he'll never recover from this. It was wild to see. But of course, the comments and the commentariat was all like, yeah, this is, oh, she's so stupid. Or, oh, Trump is totally done, man. And it meant, of course, it meant nothing. But I genuinely don't think that represented the average person on the street or their opinion. And unfortunately, we are being trained to think that what we read in comment sections is what people are thinking. I don't think that that's an accurate representation. Right. At this point.
It was very obvious. This was one of the reasons why I had a break with, you know, big tech. During the expansion of the Levolution in 07, 08, Freedom's Phoenix took off. Well, what happened was all of a sudden we have a Freedom Forum in the comment section, and we're kind of like our own internet, you know? I mean, we were building it for as an activist tool, you know, whatever. And there was a woman who had a woman's name that was in there, and it was obvious, you know, she's pro-Obama. But come to find out later, it was part of Holder's kind of inside the White House troll army that they had, you know? And you could see this stuff, and it got to the point, there were two times during that campaign I had to, you know, actually ban people. I warned them. I said, look, you can't use a site like this, you know, doing this propaganda, going out and trying to instigate, you know, stuff, and let's go bomb something, you know, that kind of crap, you know? And it came from the left and the right. And the right side, this one guy out of Georgia was there kind of, well, we got to get our militia and get together and go get some, and, you know, that kind of thing. And I was telling him, well, I'm just doing my thing, doing my job. And I got the impression, he kind of intimated to me that he was being paid to do it. Mm. You know, this was his thing. You know, he can't stop because that's his thing. The only way, because he liked me or liked the site, but he was doing his job. Well, then it was Liana, something like that, was the one with the Obama deal. And you could see it was kind of regimented. And I don't know if she was going from a script or if it was a bot. But it was obvious to me that there was controls. So the one thing that I'm seeing of late now is two things. I didn't even read it. I didn't put it up, but heard a lot about it. But The Atlantic came out with a story nuclear war is not that bad. Mm-hmm. It's not going to, it's only going to be, it's like a big, you know, kind of, it's all right. Don't worry about it. It'll only. So they're trying to get you normalized and accustomed to that. I've seen this stuff before.
Yep.
The other thing now, all the, now we're done with the campaign and so on. Where does the meme shift to? Because yep. I get sent a lot of memes, and I censor a lot of the, a lot of it's not safe for work. I'm just saying. But, you know, the very creative stuff, put a bunch of them up. I mean, you know, 20 a day or something will go up on, you know, the Telegram. But it's Muslims. Everything, you know, every Muslim is a, you know, goat doing freaking where's the, you know, my goat wives and, you know, stuff, and the Jews did it and the Jews didn't do it and the Muslims would do it. I can see this Middle East, you know, like, you know, the nip kite, you know, phraseology used in World War II of we're going to get, you know, whatever.
Yep.
And I'm seeing it a lot. That's why I was asking if you spend any time on this stuff, because I am seeing this wave of anti-Muslim, anti-Islam, Middle East, you know, Jewish thing, for, against. That's, it's like a meme war to try and get us into war.
Yeah.
And they're trying to dehumanize. And I'm feeling, you know, I was like, yeah, of course they want a war. Of course they want to escalate. Of course they want to, you know, spend more money, launder it, yada, 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 yada. But no. They are trying to get us into a nuclear war before Trump gets in. That's my feeling. And I'm getting the same pressure that we first started experiencing in 07 and 08 with them starting to weaponize the internet. Because when Obama got elected, Holder, which was AG, I think, right? He brought that cadre into the White House or into the government. They were continuing the PSYOP thing. They were all over this internet. Now, when Trump came, you know, it's Hillary's turn in 08, no, in 16, when Trump was running against Hillary in 16, they thought they were just going to do it again, but he Cambridge Analytics. You know, that was them taking all the Facebook data and using it. You cheated, you used the internet. I mean, I feel it coming, James, and I want to know what you think is going to be the world's reaction, what's your personal reaction, what you think the reaction should be when we start seeing popping off mushroom clouds. And you got the South China Sea being occupied, Japan's worried, and you got, you know, China just built an island. We can put all kinds of missiles up here. Yeah. So then he comes in, Trump's going to tariff everybody and so on. Is that threat of eliminating economic opportunity to America's markets and everything going to have an impact? What's going to be the people's response to war? It's all you, man. Monologue me.
Well, you know, a lot of thoughts going around, one of which is that, yes, I mean, it's funny to me because I saw the reaction of people or bots to Rogan's recent comments where he said, you know, F you, Zelensky, or he said F you, people. And people took it to mean he was talking to Zelensky and the Ukrainians, as in, why are you starting World War III at this point? But he says he was talking about, you know, Biden, you know, on his way out the door. Whatever. At any rate, it was funny to see the reaction to that, because it just once again goes to show and underscore the point that there, I mean, to the extent that there was an anti-war left, it absolutely, truly, totally does not exist anymore. It is now the pro-war left, because it's against Zelensky. And it's against Putin. It's for Zelensky in that crowd. And you're not waving a Ukrainian flag. Oh, my God, you're a treasonous traitor. So it is amazing to watch that. But yeah, now sunshine, rainbows, happiness and world peace will come in with the Trump administration. Oh, wait, no. One thing, I mean, again, even regardless of Trump's acquiescence to this or the fact that, or whether or not he's a bloodthirsty warmongering maniac, certainly he is highly closely associated with the bloodthirsty, warmongering, now successfully indicted war criminal Netanyahu over in Israel, who takes the Trump administration and the incoming Trump administration as a gigantic green light to escalate things in his neck of the woods, which, of course, we know eventually means striking Iran, right? And Israel would be happy to fight Iran to the last American, right? Of course. And do you really think Trump is going to back down from his best ally and his wonderful friend there? Netanyahu's doing a heck of a job. Wonderful guy. No, I think Netanyahu knows that if there is any administration ever that would roll over and do anything that he says whenever he says it, it would be the incoming Trump administration. So, yeah, I think it certainly seems that the Trump administration does not want to ratchet things up in Ukraine, but in Iran, sure. And, of course, China. China, of course, is the new boogeyman, the new Cold War. China this, China that, China, China, China will be the new Russia, Russia, Russia. And we'll have to see what eventuates from that, but it certainly could pop off there. So I see, yeah, great. So maybe Ukraine might die down if and when Trump successfully takes over the reins from whoever's puppeteering Biden. Is that going to make a difference in terms of the overall war agenda? I don't think so. And it just flips. So now suddenly, you know, the Dems and the Libs will be like, oh, no, how dare you be warmongers in this particular case? And the Republicans will be, yay, yay, you know, stick it to them. Glass parking lot, those stupid Arabs, is going to be a more common sort of thing that we're going to see online. And I think that's exactly what you're experiencing with those memes and the reflection of the dehumanization of vast swaths of the human population. And I'd like to see a way out of that. But here's the, again, it comes back to that point. Are we seeing the normalization of the idea of nuclear war? I mean, the escalation that has just gone on in Ukraine is truly mind-boggling. And that people don't see or understand that we really are two nuclear superpowers truly at that brink at that moment, at this moment, it's incomprehensible that anyone would. I guarantee you take someone from 20 years in the past and put them in this moment and they'd go, what the hell? This is incredible World War III level stuff. But somehow we've been marched into this. So yes,
I think go, yeah, it's 1980.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think the population is becoming, I think they are trying to get the population numb to this idea. And that does not bode well for whatever may or may not be coming in the coming years. I really, you know, it's really, really genuinely a question how we will be able to thread the needle of the rest of the 2020s without some sort of hot war. I'd like to see how that happens. I would genuinely like to see that happen.
What do you mean that there'd be a way to have a not hot war? What are you talking about?
Well, as I say, if it's not Ukraine and Russia, then certainly what's happening in the Middle East is already a regional war that is one heartbeat away from becoming a vaster war. Because, of course, if the U.S. comes in and Russia and China come in on the other side, then that's world war. And, of course, all of the tensions in the Asia-Pacific and whatever may or may not happen with China in the coming years, which, as I've written about, and I always have to state because people always think there, I'm gonna upstage Professor Corbett and tell him about the fact that this is all staged. Yeah, I know. I know, guys. I'm aware. But that doesn't mean the war will not be real. The war will be real. It's just that the players may not be who you think they are. But anyway, China could be another completely out of left field for most Americans who aren't thinking about it as closely right now, but certainly could be, at the snap of a finger, could be a much wider, obviously, regional war in the Asia Pacific that would immediately become world war. So there's too many places right now that are popping off for this, I think, to not eventuate in some sort of direct military conflict.
This, you know, brings up this. Scott Horton is a good friend I've known for a long time and done a lot of shows. The last time I had him on was, I don't know, months ago, but I go, it always seems like they're in three. Oh, your numerology, Ernie, you're always being, you know, kind of. And I'm going, no, that's not what I'm saying, that there's always a war, a backup, and a backup. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have Ukraine. We got Israel, whatever the heck's going on there, and Iran, and now it's quit it. And then we got the South China Sea. It's always in three. They got this, whatever the hell they want to do, a backup, and then one simmering off, you know, on the shelf somewhere. They, you know, pull up front when they need to. So I'm seeing that. I'm old enough, been around this stuff long enough to see the pattern. It's a psyop. They're getting you normalized. They're getting you ready. They're getting you to what? So I'm increasingly getting more and more. You know, my role, I want to make them pay for if they get me a mushroom cloud. And that equate to no more compliance. taxes, regulation, property. Yeah. We're done. You know what, you guys.
Yes.
Screwed up.
This. Okay. So you are great at coming up with those snappy titles and banners and graphics and things that'll plant this in people's heads. So what we really, really, really need is something that's something along the lines of war equals, you know, end of government as you know it. We will not comply.
Done. Right?
Any war for any reason, any stupid, contrived, nonsense, false flag garbage that you try to use to pull us into another war, it's over. And
space
I think
aliens,
that
don't
needs
care.
To be the focus of the memes for the late 2020s. We need to make this absolutely clear that it is not a win for the controllers if they pull the war trigger.
When they're trying to give you the idea that a nuclear war is winnable, that they can, you know, here, I think I got a story up where there's a whole bunch of war stuff up here, but there was one, you have the NATO coming out. Admiral Bob Bauer is warning businesses to prepare for war. NATO's like, we're going to create our own thing. We don't need America. We're going to have a war anyway, even if it's not with America. Don't you want to be in our war? No, I don't. Okay. You know, kiss my butt. So this NATO is coming out in Europe. European Union wants to create their own military, whatever the heck, because Trump comes in, they're not going to get their war. You know, what kind of war are you going to have without a war? I mean, you know, so I'm, it seems like something that I could get behind, that I could do.
We need a message. We need a simple rhyming message. What rhymes with war? I don't know. But yeah, I would say don't limit it to the mushroom cloud, because it's not just about that. But some sort of war, major war. There has to
mushroom cloud's a major war.
Let's make the red cap wearing MAGA believers, the Dr. Franks of the world, let's make them put it on the line. Trump is the peace guy. He's going to save us. He didn't get us in any wars. Good. Okay, great. Perfect. So you will commit in advance. You will commit that if Trump gets us into any war, you are off the Trump train. You are 100% against him. You will not comply. You stop paying taxes. You go absolutely against the government. Right? Right? Because you will put it on the line because you believe in Trump so much that you will put it down on the line in advance and make them commit to it. Your identity is that red cap, right? Yay, Trump. He's the peace prophet, savior of the world. And if a war happens under Trump, it's off. It's done. I do not comply, right? We need to make that the social contract going forward.
You know, I'm going to work on that. I better hurry up too, because I'm trying to do it right
I don't
now.
Know how much time we have.
The story, the globalists believe nuclear war is winnable. You know, nuclear war is not that bad. We're going to have, you know, from each according to their ability, to each according to their need, and we need a war. You know, so I can feel it. I've been doing this long enough that I can feel it. It's not just they're going to get a war. They're going to get a culture change.
Yeah.
They're going to get a war footing. It's like we've always been at war with Eurasia.
Right.
I mean, it's just.
Yeah, no, that's what war is about. And I don't know if enough people understand that, but it is fundamentally about the consciousness change that it can wreak in the population. And we've known about this, I mean, for at least a century, documentably, on the record. What was Norman Dodd talking about the Rees Commission and their research into the tax-exempt foundations back in the early 1900s? And he talked about the meeting minutes of the Carnegie Board from the inception of that foundation. For the first few years, they were talking about how can we best change the consciousness of the American people? How can we best alter the fabric of American society? And they've debated this in a very learned and scholarly fashion for a year, and they came to the decision that absolutely nothing other than war will be the best way, the most effective and efficient way to change the mindset of the American people. And so they spent the next year debating, well, how do we get America into some sort of war? And fast forward 3 years later, you got the Federal Reserve Act, and then Wilson brings them into war, right? This is how this functions. This is why it functions. This is why World War One led to the League of Nations. This is why World War Two led to the United Nations. The entire world order, the multilateral rules-based order, or whatever they call it, is predicated on the post-World War II fallout and the incredible, the total, complete seismic shift that that wrought in international relations. And it's time for a new reset. It's time to shift that once again. The only way that they, them, those know how to do that is to get people embroiled in war. It doesn't even matter who the war is against. It doesn't matter the particularities of how that war transpires or how many millions, or in this case, maybe billions of people need to die, as long as they get their objectives in the end. That's what war is about. And that's why that has to be the gigantic red line that all the red MAGA caps paint in the sand right now. You cross over that line, you get us into war, it's done. We are
okay,
totally
define,
off your reservation.
For me, it's easy. Mushroom cloud. You know, I mean, you know, there's, but see, mushroom cloud, you lose, done. You know, meme the crap out of it, whatever. A couple of cell phones probably get a picture. So I'm just like, you know, that's so easy. Wars are kind of, you know, they're slippery kind of things. They go in, yeah, you know, blah, 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 mushroom cloud, boom, trigger. Yep. So
yeah, I get
say,
what you mean. And certainly, I agree that they will, I think to the extent that they ever actually use a nuke, it will be in some sort of false flag event that will be like, oh my God, look at this and look at what can happen. And they will try to use that rather than a full scale nuclear war, which I don't think would serve their purposes. I think it would be
They need a false flag, mushroom cloud kind of, oh my God, hypersonic, you know, Chinese-Russian missile of they did it.
Yeah.
And I don't care. You know, whoever did, I don't care. You know, it was always big government. I remember when Oklahoma City bombing happened, and L. Neil Smith is a libertarian science fiction writer. He had, you know, a lot to say about a lot of things. He's kind of a Larkin Rose type. Mm-hmm. And he goes, do you know, immediately, first day, he goes, big government did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, what do you mean? Do you know? He goes, hey, if big government wanted a, you know, a price increase, they wanted the agency, they wanted more money, they wanted to increase tax, they wanted whatever, big government did it. If there was, you know, people mad about big government taking more tax, doing whatever, big government did it. If they wanted to do big government, no matter who did it, it was big government's fault.
Yeah.
Was the point he was making.
Yeah.
So you think about it a little bit, you go, yeah. So war, you know, yeah, there's going to be, you know, them wanting to play war and do a little war of war of war. But there is definitely a war when you got a mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
You got a mushroom cloud, that, man, that's freaking full on. So something else, I mean, it's going to, you know, they always call it, you know, a military strategic action of training gone awry.
Yeah. No. I get what you're saying, but that's why I think we need to make the wonderful and well-meaning people who put on the red cap, I think we need to make them put that on the dotted line now, and then I think we need to head this off, because I think that they will be able to be tricked into going along with the next kinetic military action. Oh, you saw what those dastardly Muslims did, so now we have to bomb.
What do you think Trump would go along with it?
Oh, do you think
he really?
Yeah, remember when Ivanka came in crying about the children that Assad gassed, and so he ordered the Syria strikes? Remember that? You don't think that could happen again?
Yeah, that could have easily come straight from, you know, Mossad to Jared to Ivanka to
exactly.
Trump.
Exactly. I mean,
you know,
and it 100% you know, did work that way. I mean,
yeah.
And yes, yeah, it will work again. I have no doubt about that. I am not putting my faith in Trump to be able to resist being who he is. I just think that I do believe that a lot of the red MAGA cap wearing, let's go Team Trump people really do believe. They really do at this point, if they had to write it out, what they think, their principles, they think that Trump will be a peace president. And they think that this is about restoring sanity and stability and, oh, we're not going to be involved in foreign wars. But they will be able to be led along when Trump puts out the right narrative and says, no, you don't understand.
So you think he will?
I have little doubt that if it serves his interests, he will. And even so, at the very least, I know that he can be manipulated into it.
Right.
No matter what he thinks.
Yeah, China said something bad about his golf game, man. You gotta nuke him. I mean, you know, there's, but, you can't do that.
But don't worry, with good, sane, stable people like Marco Rubio in charge over there in the new administration, don't worry, guys. I mean, Marco Rubio, he's not a, oh, wait, he is a war hawk. Yay.
Yeah, he's going to live in Israel. The, this is, he has an interesting cast of characters around Rubio, and where I got, and we posted it, it was Patrick Byrne has a, you know, from Overstock.com billionaire. He's been on the show, God, 9 times or more, 10 times, double digits. So, but we talked since 2009 about naked short selling. It was economics. Then, you know, we kind of introduced him to the libertarian crowd. He came and one of our speakers at a Freedom Summit. So we know each other fairly well, and I've seen him at different events.
Yeah.
He did Deep Capture is something I check it almost every day. It's just one of my hot links, but he only posts about every month or two or three or something. Well, the most recent that he did was Marco Rubio and all of his cadre of, you know, support and people around. He's going, now, you know, I'm not saying I don't, you know, Marco, I know I don't have bad, but here's his entourage. Here's his interest. Here's what, it's Israel. Okay. It's back. It's, you know, it's whatever the hell is going on. So he laid it out in probably 10, 15 minutes, you know, what Trump is dealing with these guys. So I really appreciated that. And I thought that was well done. And he wasn't saying they're for sure certain bad, but you can see where the inclination is. You know, Adelson's or some rich Jewish people gave, but they got paid off. You know, Marco could be it. Now, this is one thing. Here's some, you know, Trump 4D QAnon chessboard stuff. I'm going, okay, Marco Rubio is a congressman in Florida. DeSantis is governor. Marco Rubio, you know, I'm good. You know, I'm going to go be Secretary of State. Then you have Matt Gaetz. He's Florida. So he turns in his resignation. I'm not a congressman anymore, but he was elected, so he could be in the next term if he wanted to. But now that Rubio's seat, Senate seat's open, who shall we put there? DeSantis could go, and Matt Gaetz is now a senator. Well, who we got to fill the congressional seat with? Daughter-in-law Laura Trump would do nicely, you know? So, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of games that could be played on this. I don't know what, and it gets so plausible and complicated and freaking, okay, you know, that sounds like, you know, they could do that it gets to where I don't even like thinking about it because I don't care. You know, it's more of the same dance and crap. Pay attention. You know?
Yeah. I have zero interest in speculating about the next administration and what they're going to do. But I think it is important to draw that line in the sand. This is what I want. I want peace. I don't want another war. And I think they're going to do it. And I put on my red cap.
I tell you why.
That's why. Here,
take a look at this. Okay. Expect bank runs. All right. It's going to be an economic thing. There's, you know, a John Snyzen. The Economic Truth. I subscribe to one of his channels, and his Telegram. He just constantly putting up. He kind of focuses on Norway, Europe, because he's from Norway, and in Canada. He lives in Canada, but Canada's banking system and Trudeau, and I mean, it's imploding. It's going. What's going to happen? I have no idea. We have to have a war. You know, what do you need? A war? You know, it's like wag the dog all over again. Let's go through these real quick because I want you to discuss this. Okay, bank runs. Then, the video is taken down. This January 6th thing is, you know, unraveling all the hell and all the bad guys are getting out of there. Then we have, you know, the charitable donations. This is a big thing here in Arizona. Whenever you run as a candidate, they'd always have an event where the candidates come and speak to the Catholic Charities. It was what they call it, Catholic Human Services or something. It was almost like, what are they, a branch of government or something? Yes, they're an NGO. They're a non-governmental organ. Well, hell, they get, but what? How much do they get? $600 million. And it recharges every, at least year, if not month or what. I mean, that's a lot. And I'm going, holy crap. Well, of course, they're helping, you know, immigrant children for the, and then they got a lot of baggage. Then we have NATO's true intentions spark outrage in Moscow. What are their real intentions? I don't know. They want a war. That's what they want. The Federal Reserve lost another $20 billion. They're doing their, it's all of it, everything. The CIA, they come out with, you know, back when they did the church committee and everything, and you have, you know, Barry Goldwater sitting there holding this gun that shot this heart attack dart. You get like 100 yards with this thing. I'm like, what the crap? Who are these people? So there's no reform. There's no fixing it. There's no, you know, coming back to it later and going, well, you know, we reconstituted and had a we had a extra special vote. Yeah, it was a different kind of vote. So I'm as much as I'm encouraged by what's been happening, and the people are at least informed, you know, waking up or whatever. They're waking up to the woke. I can tell you that. They're like, man, that's BS. So all of these different large corporations are doing away with their ESG and DEI and all this other environmental and, you know, diversity and equity inclusion crap and all that because it doesn't work, you know. So with that gone, what's next? I don't know and I don't care, James. I'm just getting to where it's everything. All you can't fix it. If you don't go all Javier Milei on it, and I go, let me tell you how you go Javier Milei on it. You ignore them. I don't care. They go, we got to end the Fed. Ignore the Fed. I don't got to end them. Why do I waste time on it? You just ignore them. It's legal tender laws. Hell, it's legal tender laws up here in my brain of what I am willing to trade for. I've been getting a lot of supplies, and I make sure I get like 50% discount on stuff that are high quality, good. You know, I need stuff. Silver. I go, I'll pay you in silver, but I need it for this much, you know, dollar worth of silver. And they're like, okay, way more often than they used to. Because that was a big thing over the decades. I tell the audience, I go, look, man, you're on Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, OfferUp, whatever. See if you can get a discount for silver. Well, I want to keep the silver. You know, I go, I know, so do I. But it's worth just transacting in it. Get them to see if they'll give you a deal. Do it, you know, just to mention it to them that it's an option. It's like an activist thing. Yep. So now I'm really starting to get into it. And as we're out here in the rural areas, a lot of these guys that got stuff laying around their property and they want to get rid of and it's up to it, they're much more amenable to silver. Yep. So I'm going, ooh, this is, here it comes. I don't need an end the Fed for that. Yep. You just ignore them. So I'm really, I'm so glad that we have focused on the Occupy the Land, putting a lot of effort in that. And I'm thinking that I'm feeling more comfortable, no matter, you know, they dangle a carrot in front of me. Don't you want to? Because one of the things is I had to go to Washington or Atlanta, you know, for MAHA. And I'm like, I'm not interested in that. And I'm not even really, they got a lot of better, more qualified people. Hell, Frank's more qualified than me for doing, you know, the health thing. But, you know, slicing government, you know, I'm your boy. When you need a marketing campaign, when you need a Lovolution, when you need to have signs, sign or a sign. And what I'm thinking is war. You know, this is mushroom cloud, and it can equate to war, and people will do it, and you'll take it and be more specific about that. You know, but for me, you know, mushroom cloud is a definite freaking that, because then you get to put it on, you know, a card. You get to have the image of the mushroom cloud. You know, Hammerfall by Queen. We grew up in the shadow of the mushroom cloud. And I never forgot that song. I play it in the show a lot. So I think about it real quick here for a moment. How would you promote that, especially going into Christmas time?
Peace on earth, goodwill to men? Yeah, you know, very good question. That's the kind of thing I think I would have to come up with organically in terms of what's going on and what I'm doing. But it's up to, honestly, I think it's people like you with the sort of the ability to get that campaign going. And we will find ways to get that campaign in front of people.
Right. The more I think about it, and really it was just, you know, kind of evolved. It was this afternoon. I'm out on the land thinking, and there, you know, I just I don't listen to podcasts or music usually. I just think. And then I put in some music, just classic rock, you know, whatever. And, you know, a bunch of anti-war songs, you know, Buffalo Springfield and, just a bunch of old 60s, 70s anti-war stuff. And I'm just like, it's an emotion thing. You know, people need to be ready to oppose this, because you're right. There is no anti-war out there anymore.
Yeah.
Where is it? Who is it? Last I remember, it was, the Ron Paul campaign. You know, other than that, I didn't see anything. Didn't come from Obama. Yeah,
exactly. The only question is, which war do you support? And that's your political allegiance.
Oh, man, I'm feeling, how are you feeling? Trump gets in, they're making all these appointments, he's got, 50 gazillion, babes, in the cabinet positions. I think if there's 24, about a couple of dozen, like eight of them are women. And I'm going, cool, and they're all, semi-attractive, not hideous, skilled, something. I'm not really think he picked them just because they're women. Maybe I have no idea. I haven't looked at that because I don't care. It doesn't matter. And so I'm going to get to do I Don't Care and It Doesn't Matter a bunch of times tomorrow with Frank, because we do a Thanksgiving show every year. We always do an early Thanksgiving show. I always went into the studio when I was on Terran Radio. I went in because my hands were getting slapped the whole time. I'm in the kitchen. I touch anything. Get out. Screw you. I can go down to the studio. They go, you going to do a show on Thanksgiving? Yeah. Hell yeah. Because a morning show, I'm going to freaking, I get to. Don't get yelled at. So, because we don't usually get together until 1, 2 o'clock anyway. But so tomorrow we're going to do the show. I know he's going to be really happy. He got a Trump card that had the mugshot. It's all encased in glass. You'll love this. It has a little swatch, a little piece of the blue suit that he was wearing. And this particular one has a little swatch of the red tie he was wearing when he took that mugshot and went. These things went for $11,000. $11,000. And he got an auction on a deal for, I don't know, a couple thousand, $3,000. But $11,000. So he's got, woo, look, I got to pull it up. Where's my phone? Donna, find my phone.
Ernie, have you ever heard of TDS?
Yes. Trump Derangement Syndrome.
No.
No, it's
not Trump. Not Trump Derangement Syndrome. Trump drunkenness syndrome. That's what Dr. Frank has, and a lot of people like him.
It's on steroids. I mean, it's amazing, But I got here it is. But I want to show you the picture that he painted. I don't know what he. Maybe he'll tell me tomorrow. But it was. Are you freaking kidding me? All right, come on. All right, guys, I'm taking the time to do this because damn, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see if anyway, that's the card, and it's got, the swatches underneath it, and this is, gazillion dollars. And I'm like, why? It's like Elvis Presley's, China or something. It's amazing.
I am glad to say I cannot and will never understand the mentality of a grown man who would act like that for any other human being for any reason whatsoever.
Well, he collects comic books and he's a bunch of he's a gamer.
I don't understand Star Wars. I'm not even going to make fun of it. Whatever. Good for you.
Well,
it's your resources.
He makes
how you want.
Weird. The value of this stuff is enormous. I mean, it goes up, and he sees for this. I'm like, I don't know how he would ever part with it. Maybe his daughter will, But it's all of that gives you some hopium, that people are, feeling better because the mood has changed.
Yeah.
It's going to be a better Christmas.
Okay. You asked my sort of what I'm feeling and where, what I'm thinking about this. And let me. Instead of being just cynical and nihilistic, because it's easy to be that, let's look at the positive side of this. The reason that people are excited and the reason that people are on board this Trump train and, things are going to change, is because they believe that Trump really believes, and this is all in, you know, this service of this greater good that they understand. This is a fight against good and evil. I agree with that. I just don't think Trump's on the good side. But whatever. Who cares? Who cares what I think? The point is, enough people are starting to understand that this is truly a fight against good and evil, and that they're on the side of good and things that are good, and they want good things to happen, like peace. They don't want foreign wars of aggression, right? Good. Let's foster that. Let's encourage that. Let's make them sign on the dotted line and say, yes, I am 100% on board with this because I know Trump is not going to start another war. Let's make them commit to that ahead of time.
That's been a thing.
Let's make that part of their identity. Yep, I agree. I am on your side. That's why I think we should. So you will absolutely support this new campaign that Ernest Hancock has.
No. I'm going to tell Frank it was James Corbett's idea. I'm going to go, James said, man, if you're not willing to sign on the line for this, you're big, giant, you know, freaking slack jaw weenie, you know? So I'm going to push this with him. And I'm going to make this a thing because I haven't really commented on. I mean, the most that I'll do is I get a lot of memes sent me. So I'll take the time. Sometimes it takes a while. It's like a 40-minute thing every day for me to go through and call out all the not safe for, you know, I want to have my name sent in it. And get rid of the just crap, the Muslim Jewish crap. I mean, and it's really not. That's kind of bit. It's really amping up. But there are many. I get a dozen, two dozen, you know, a day I was sitting, and I put them up. And the war thing is not getting enough attention. It's almost like, ooh, get ready. We're going to get us a war. We're going to have us some fun. We're going to sell some stuff. You're going to see some. Yeah, that was one thing, one of the shows, I didn't get to listen to it. I saw you talking about the AI robots versus each other or something. What was that about?
So the Biden-Harris administration, and let me just take a moment to address that, because it was the first and only time I've ever seen a White House press release about a national security memorandum that wasn't, you know, Biden administration or the Biden White House. It was Biden-Harris. And I think they only did that, of course, because it was in the height of the selection season. So they wanted, no, Harris is really involved in these national security memoranda, guys. Right. She's got her finger on the trigger. Anyway, whatever. That's an aside. But in October, the White House released this national security memorandum warning about the AI threat, the growing AI threat. And they did mention China once in that press release, kind of passingly. But on the same day, their national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, gave a speech about this and about, obviously, the AI gap. Because there's a gap that's growing in research funding and development AI between the Chinese and the Americans. And we can't fall behind in the AI race, guys. And I just put that in the context of the missile gap, which is documented history. We know 100% that Kennedy himself was blatantly, completely lied to by his advisors going into the 1960 selection cycle. He was told, everyone in the American public was told, the Soviets are arming, they're starting to pull ahead, there's going to be a missile gap, maybe there already is, they have more missiles than us, ICBMs were the big thing at that time, so there was this big public freakout. Kennedy literally campaigned on it. Go watch his 1960 presidential debate, the infamous television debate with Nixon, where Nixon's all sweaty and Kennedy's all telegenic and everything. What was Kennedy talking about? World peace and ending the Cold War? No, he was running on the Soviets are pulling ahead and there's a missile gap and we better close that missile gap. That's what Kennedy actually was campaigning and won on. And when he was when he got into office, McNamara tells him, well, you know, actually, that was total baloney. And he was like, oh, well, I helped spread that baloney. And then he got them to look into it and found out, yes, it was baloney. It was made up by the Rand Corporation. But we won't tell the American public that it was baloney. We'll just keep that under our hat because it's good for the military-industrial complex. Anyway, that's the whole story of the missile gap, which we know was 100% total baloney lie cooked up by the military-industrial complex to line their pockets. Now we're being told to worry about the AI gap with China. And what's the solution to the AI gap? Well, of course, more money to the military-industrial complex to go and, you know, line their pockets to the nth degree.
And so our robot dog beat up their robot dog.
Yeah, exactly right. And in fact, that's what I'm thinking with regards to the mushroom cloud thing, which is why I think the mushroom cloud will, you know, of course, they will try to use that as a false flag rallying event to sear in the public consciousness. Because as you say, it's the picture you could put on a postcard or on everyone's, you know, computer screen, the mushroom cloud. But the real way warfare is going to be fought, hot warfare between major powers in the future, is going to be, have you seen all those videos of the Chinese
bots?
Drone swarms that, you know, make dragons in the sky and all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how amazing. Wow, it looks so pretty. Now imagine a million of those armed in various ways. That is the future of warfare. It is not going to be people on a battlefield. It is not going to be nuclear warfare. It is going to be drone swarms and all this exotic AI, quote-unquote, technology. And I don't think anyone's really prepared
tell
for
me
it.
That you've seen Slaughterbots.
I have, yeah.
Okay, so this is, you know, that's what, you know, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I this was out, God, when did this come out? God, at least 5 years ago. And it was just amazing that they had just these little drones, and they had like a TED Talk, and it was, you know, Georgia University or something did this, just something like that. It was a student thing, but it was professionally done. It was just like a TED Talk, and... Yep. Yeah. You know, Bill Gates wanting to release mosquitoes or something.
Yeah, yeah,
but they
yeah.
had these little bots, and they had a bigger drone that would go hit a wall and detonate, and a shaped charge that would blow a hole in the wall. Then all these little bots would go in, had facial recognition on people, and they just go in and a little charge on the head, boom.
Yep.
About years ago. Yep. I'm going, of course they're going to do that.
Yep.
And hey, I know why.
Here's one that I found just yesterday. Look this up. This LIDAR-equipped 30-pound robot dog can be yours for $1,600. So this was from last year. This is Ars Technica reporting on the Unitree Go 2, a new creature of embodied AI, is the way that apparently it's being sold. It's a robot dog, and when you see it, it's, you know, one of those creepy robot dogs that they try to sell as this cute thing, and it'll be like your cute pet. And if you go and watch the advertisement video, essentially, that's embedded in this article, you can see a bear. Oh, there we go. Yeah, if you watch that video that's embedded there, introducing you to
$1,600 bucks. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. But when you watch it, you'll notice if you listen with the sound, it's. This is it. I mean, it's English speakers, but it's not quite English, right? Like, why are they talking like this?
Yeah, the fact that it can walk on its hind legs back, and then the Chinese put wheels on it.
Yeah.
I just think it was going down a mountain.
Listen to this. Listen to this. Get listen to this.
Shake hand. Very good. Give me some water.
Sorry, I can't reach it. I'll dance to pleasure you instead.
I'll dance to pleasure you instead. Like, why is this not quite English? It's because, of course, this is Chinese. It's a Chinese robot, right? And the Chinese are the ones that are developing all these little toys.
You know, there was one Chinese robot wheel mountain. Where was this? Unitree, that's going. I was concerned. There was a guy going, these military commercials are now looking more and more like video games. And it was a guy that was showing these, and he was doing, a picture on, and he was showing them coming out and being dropped like in Star Wars, you know, the... God, what was it, the first or second one when they were dropping them, you know, and a bunch of them dropped out. And iRobot, same kind of thing. But it was a lot of these little robots like that, except at the end of its feet, it had wheels. It'd stand up, and it'd just go down a steep mountain trail.
Yeah.
It was just booing, booing, booing. Yeah, and then it could go up, and it go. I'm like,
and
oh my God.
Yeah, if you keep
Black
watching
Mirror.
That Unitree, part of the thing that dog does is LIDAR mapping of the terrain around it, right? And it has memory so it can remember the terrain and everything. And all I'm thinking when I'm watching all of this is this is a perfect weapon, right? This is a weapon of warfare that's being sold to you.
Chase
as a
your ass.
Little pet dog, right? That's just going to map and know your surroundings and be able to, well, climb all over you and jump and move faster than you can and all of this crap that could be, I'm sure, injectable.
I want a sentry for my land.
Cybersecurity, you know, injection at any time to be taken over by whatever military is puppeteering it. And of course, all of this is being developed right now in China. That's why DJI and Unitree and all these companies are Chinese. Why is that, actually? Well, the ostensible reason is because American companies are, you know, handcuffed by all these regulations. For example, for drones, at this point, if a drone is capable of going out of line of sight, you need a I think you need a commercial pilot's license to be able to operate that drone. And who is the one that gets put on the hook for the liability if someone without that license, who's not properly licensed, gets a drone like that? It's the company, the manufacturers. So there's a disincentive for American companies to actually develop this technology, which is why it's all coming from China right now. But of course, what if, you know, what if China had a back door in some of these things? I mean, I don't know. What if some of these Chinese corporations were actually the Chi-Coms, right? And so what is going to be the answer to that? Well, of course, then what we need is American military industrial manufacturers to get into this and start making the American versions of all this. It is this, again, it's Cold War 1.0 in the 2.0 21st century context, but okay. It's the same thing, and it's gonna all I can say, I've said this many times, I don't think this has gotten through to people. World War One looked nothing like warfare before. It blew people's minds. They couldn't imagine trench warfare and tanks and all of that. World War Two utterly transformed people's idea of warfare and bombing raids and civilian infrastructure and all of this being on the line, dropping atomic bombs on civilian targets. World War III will look nothing like warfare you've seen before, and it will be this kind of crap. These robot dogs and whatever else that we laugh at right now will be the future of warfare, and it is not something I'm looking forward to.
Before you go, one thing I wanted to bring up. I saw a story just a couple days ago. It may have went up yesterday, and it was Pokemon Go. Do you remember that?
I sure do, yeah.
Okay. Pokemon Go was a game on your phone, and you had these fictitious, you know, what do you call it, virtual reality characters that would go, and you have to go find them. And you would see, I saw, it was Davy Barker was in Washington, and they were at Arlington one evening, you know, just out in the graveyard doing rubbings or something. They were, some project they were doing. And had all these people walk around Blueface with their phones, and then they'd all in a crowd, and then they'd turn. And they go, what the hell is that? They were looking for Pokemon Go characters.
Yep.
Then Bob, when he was out at Palo Verde Nuclear Plant, people would be doing Pokemon Go in the plant. And the company had to go, you freaking morons, turn your damn phone off. Take the you can't have, you're too stupid to have phones in the nuke room anymore. You know, that kind of crap. So what they would do is anywhere they wanted to surveil, they just kind of hint of, there's these characters somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, there's suddenly a Pikachu over here. Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah, behind the whatever the hell. You know, I'm just, this is, sometimes we're so stupid, you know.
But well, not we. In our defense, not we, but people. Yeah.
Well, humanity. But because we're good, trusting a lot of times, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong.
Yeah.
Well, this is a story that just came out. All the data that Pokemon Go collected for Google, they're selling.
Wow. Surprise, surprise.
Shocking.
I saw the headline.
And trading their AI crap.
I should do that because I had a Pokemon Go story when that was happening about CIA connections to the people that were behind that. I never followed it up, but that would be a good way to put the capper on that story.
Yeah. Look that up. We don't have time to do it now, but people just look it up.
Yep.
You know, Pokemon Go data for sale or into, I mean, what'd you think they were going to do with that stuff?
Yeah.
What'd you think was going on? Why would they? Seriously. I think tomorrow I'll start the campaign, you know, mushroom clack, because the compliance, the homage you give to like government and shiny badges and clipboards and crap and, you know, whatever taxes you're paying and everything. You know, part of that is to keep me out of a freaking war. And yep. I'm just, no, no, yep. hell no.
Cool. You I am on board activated. With this campaign. All Let right. me know what it is, what the tagline is,
I
what
don't
it
know.
Looks like. Send me promotional materials. Let's bang the hell out of this. Because
I'm waiting on you to tell me what it is. But it'll start because I think All it's right. a good thing because I can see it happening.
Yep.
James, thanks for coming on. You know, usually I feel a lot better after talking to you. I'm not sure I feel better.
Sorry. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. You know, this is, when's Canada celebrate Thanksgiving? It's around
October,
sometime around
something.
That.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to do is start promoting and prepping predictions. And usually we do it like the first week in January.
Yeah.
And I think you and I, we've been pretty good on this, you know, because I don't feel like keeping track where I just tell the audience, just put it in a your calendar or a lot of times your email program will have a, you know, a time delay thing. So then January, first week of January 2026, you know, it just pops up and you see how close, you know, James and Ernie were on the year. And over the years, we've been pretty close. You know, some outlandish, you know, damn.
We called
you know,
2020. We said it was the year.
Yeah, no, 2020
we didn't say
definitely
what year, but we said it was the year.
Yeah, no, it's 2020. Yep, that's it. That, and it didn't disappoint. I'm still got to open possibilities, you know, probabilities, whatever on 25. I am hopeful that we're going to. But the biggest thing was awareness.
Yep.
That we see that we're no longer having to be convinced that government's bad and that there's conspiracies are all true and, you know, yada, yada, yada. I see that we're over that hump.
Yeah, absolutely. The awareness shift has happened. So now they have to do a narrative shift. Let's see what that looks like.
Right. And only James, Professor Corbett, will be able to articulate it and document it and do a video on it. So Professor Corbett is going to take care of business when we get to the predictions in January. Hey, thanks for coming on, man. Talk to you later, James.
Yep. Appreciate it. Take care.
Peace.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Your smile.